Welcome to ICUP with We.
In the name of science, discovery, knowledge, and understanding, this is our ongoing examination of the insane clown posse.
I'm Aaron.
And I'm Eric.
And today we're reviewing 2021's House Party Peep Show.
House Party. House Party Peep Show.
Before I say anything else, I need to get this off my chest so that I can discuss it with my co-host, who I will be speaking to and introduce in a second. But I need to get it off my chest now. Breakfast pot stickers.
What?
We'll return to that in a second. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of ICUP with We. That is, assuming that you're returning. If you're not, welcome for the first time.
It feels like the first time. It feels like the very first time.
And that, my friends, is your music moment with Aaron. Guys, I'm feeling extra silly today. I'm also feeling like I don't know what I'm doing because we took a week off from recording last week. Even though your content was uninterrupted by us, we doubled up, as y'all know, the week beforehand. We took the week off last week, and now I feel like a podcast toddler.
A poddler?
A poddler. Trying to get up on my hands and knees during tummy time. Then eventually taking those first crawls as I crawl my way over to a table to use to prop myself to stand up until I don't need the table anymore. And I then am able to balance. But what happens after that? I try with one foot. It goes well. I'm walking. I am walking. That's kind of how I feel right now. You know what I mean?
No.
Guys, that voice you're hearing is not in your head. So hang up the phone. Stop calling 911. You're not going crazy. Also, if you were going crazy, 911 would be the last people you should call, because they'd likely show up and shoot you, because they don't know how to deal with mental health. Yeah. No, he's a person. His name is Eric. He's my co-host with Comos. Eric, how you doing?
I am doing well. And just in case you, as the listener, don't realize who's been speaking this whole time, I'd like to also introduce my co-host with the Comos, Aaron. Aaron, ooh, how are you?
Ooh, I am amazing. Did I never say my name?
I don't know. Maybe you did. I don't think so.
Oh.
I mean, at the beginning, before the intro music, well, you did.
That's true. How was that intro music, by the way?
How was it?
Yeah, I'm asking the listener.
Oh. Well, are you collecting feedback?
Yeah.
What's the general consensus?
Turns out it was incredible.
Oh, hell yeah. Perfect.
Yeah. That's an Eric original.
It is.
Believe it or not.
Yeah, I did that.
Remixed by Shmeev.
Shmeev did a sort of reimagining for the beginning of our crossover episode.
We're calling it a reimagining. Sounds good. Okay.
Yeah, or a cover.
That makes sense. I thought it was a remix to Ignition. Listen, if there's one thing that reimagining was, Shmeev, it was hot and fresh out the kitchen. Who would have known? Who would have known that within the first 5 minutes you would have gotten a brand new breakfast item as well as scathing social commentary to the goings on and trainings of the police force overall in the United States?
And an R. Kelly reference.
And an R. Kelly reference.
Yikes. So talk to me about this whole breakfast pot stickers thing, because we've discussed breakfast many, many times on the show, generally because
it's common.
This is breakfast time when we record this. most of the time.
True. Yeah, we record during breakfast hour.
Right. And
during the hour in which we break fast.
I would think that if you eat breakfast one day a week, it's probably on Sunday, which is when we're recording.
And can I be honest? I eat breakfast one day a week, and it is on Sunday when we're recording.
See? That's what I'm telling you.
That is 100% my life.
This is undeniably and quite objectively the breakfast hour.
This is the hour in which we break fast. I agree.
Absolutely.
Okay, so here's where the idea came from. All right. This morning, I was in my kitchen. Speaking of hot and fresh, I was in my kitchen. And I was looking for something to make for breakfast this morning. So I opened up the freezer knowing I had some Eggo waffles. I noticed my family-sized bag of pot stickers in the freezer. And I was like, oh, fuck, I really want pot stickers. And I was like, wait a minute, what am I doing? It's 8:30 in the morning. I don't fucking want pot stickers.
But maybe you did.
And then I thought to myself, breakfast pot stickers.
But here's the thing. You can eat any food you want at any time of day. You could have pot stickers for breakfast. I'm sure in certain parts of the world, that's not an uncommon start of the day meal.
Hey, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. That song is about when it's socially acceptable to eat pot stickers, right?
I would assume so.
Okay. No, I'm just making sure.
What would you put in your breakfast pot stickers? Bacon and eggs?
You could do bacon and eggs, but like, I don't know, like a pork sausage. And
something to consider here is pot stickers are generally steamed, so you're going to want something inside that could be cooked via steam.
Correct. And pork sausage could be cooked via steam, I believe.
Okay.
If it's ground up really fine. So this is what I'm thinking is that before you fill up the pot sticker wrapping, you finely grind up pork sausage. And you mix it with a touch of maple syrup. Then you fold it up and you steam it.
What if you pre-cooked the ingredients you're going to put in, then wrapped it up, then dropped it in a deep fryer or something, and you had crispy breakfast pot stickers?
I mean, yeah, that could work.
You could have breakfast Rangoon.
Breakfast. Well, hey, I mean, cream cheese is traditionally a breakfast cheese.
Sure.
And that's in Rangoons.
What so are, I mean
is hold on, guys. Is a Rangoon, is that classified technically as a breakfast? Tweeted us.
Probably. It probably is. It probably is. Aaron, today is a really big day for us.
Oh my God.
Do you know why?
No.
Because today is the day that we have reached 2021 in the chronology of the Insane Clown Posse.
Oh my God.
We're not caught up. We're close to caught up, but we are now in this year.
We are in the year that is this.
Yes.
Yes, indeed. Guys, totally skip 2020.
But
the entire world kind of skipped 2020, so that's fine.
More or less, yeah. Except honestly, for Ouija Mac. Mac did not skip 2020.
No, Ouija Mac decided to go as hard as possible in 2020. We'll get to that in a second.
We'll get to that.
Because even though we didn't have anything to review in 2020, it would be wrong of us to not talk about music from 2020 briefly.
Yeah, you need to know what's been going on.
In order for us to gauge the vibe, we need to know what's going on.
Right.
And Eric here has compiled a pretty nice list of, God damn it, what was going on?
And I'll be honest, I looked at this list and I went, the fuck is all this music? I officially, you know, for the past few years, we both look at it and we go, yeah, we know some of these songs. But some of it we're not super familiar with. This is the first year that I looked at it and I went, I guess I didn't listen to music in 2020 because I think I knew like three of these songs. I know Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion, The Stallion. Wop, 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 wop.
Can I tell you something real fast?
Please do.
I think there's six people on this list. I don't even fucking know.
Same, same.
I read that. I read the their name and I think, who?
Like Josh685, never heard of that.
24K Golden, yep. Never heard of them.
I looked both of those up and they are both. So first off, Josh685, I think is a producer and somehow got artist credit ahead of Jason Derulo, who sings that whole song. This song is not great, but 24K Golden, I think is a rap duo and, or maybe, oh, there's two people. It must be Ian Dior is one of them in 24K Golden. It is absolutely the most middling, basic, manufactured, straightforward, like pop rap song that could possibly you could imagine.
Yeah, I feel that. Looking at this,
yeah,
right now I can tell you. So even songs that like I don't recognize the artist, I recognize the name of the song because of TikTok. Legitimately, every one of these songs was viral on TikTok at some point.
Is that
in 2020?
Well, I mean, I guess that's the nature of the year 2020 and modern social media. Like some of these I heard on YouTube or would show up in my like release radar on Spotify. Like I heard that Lady Gaga and Ariana Grande song Rain On Me, but I didn't like it because it's just kind of a straightforward dance song. It didn't do much for me. But most of these, like I don't know who Roddy Ricch is, but I've heard the name. The Weeknd is somebody I try to avoid because I just don't like the music. I didn't realize Drake was still dropping songs. I've never heard BTS, but I know that's a big deal.
Yeah, maybe I have, huge.
But I might have heard it and just not recognized. I know Taylor Swift is nonstop dropping re-recorded versions of her old albums plus new stuff, so no shock that she's got a couple things. I have heard Doja Cat.
We love us some Doja Cat around these parts.
Yeah. Harry Styles was in One Direction. Is that right?
Correct. Fun fact, I am going to see Harry Styles in concert this year on the 20th anniversary of September 11th.
Okay. I was going to ask questions and then I was like, I don't even know where to start. So I'm just going to say okay. So anyway, 2020 was a weird ass year for music. Some names of artists that were undeniably big, but so much of this, I don't know shit about. And I'm kind of glad, I guess. But let's look at 2021. What was going on in music in the year 2021? If you can think back that far, if you can remember. Olivia Rodrigo is taking over the airwaves.
Internet.
With hits like Driver's License and Good For You. I tried to listen to Olivia Rodrigo because there was so much hype, and I went, this is not very memorable. It's fine. It's fine.
Can I tell you something? Driver's License is good. A lot of her other songs are good. Good For You is incredible on that like 2008 Paramore shit. That's what everybody's like comparing it to.
Yeah, I don't...
It's like misery business level shit.
I think I heard a clip of Good For You on an episode of Punk Rock MBA, but Driver's License to me was just really bland. I was like, I've heard a million songs that sound just like this. It doesn't do much for me. And yeah, I didn't watch...
I get that.
I didn't watch any of the Disney shows that she was on or whatever, and I'm like, I don't care who you are. Sorry. It's whatever.
See, I am a High School Musical, the Musical, the Series watcher. Avid watcher of High School Musical, the Musical, the Series. So that's what piqued my interest. And yeah, Driver's License, I think I liked it more than you. I didn't care for it. and when I say I liked it, I think I've listened to it like five times. It's one of those ones that like I don't go actively seek out, but if it comes on shuffle, I will like just bob my head to it.
Okay. It's not really a bob your head song.
Listen, you can do some melancholy bobs.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. Bob away. Apparently, Drake is also a big hit this year with What's Next. Didn't hear that song. Cardi B released Up. I did hear that song based on the Pixar animation feature. Very sad song.
Is it based on... I That could be, you could be absolutely tricking me right now, and I would never know. I never listened to the song.
Oh, it's not, but the song is, okay. It's fine. It's a, I mean, is it treading new ground? No, but if you like Cardi B and you like driving hip hop, it's pretty good. Justin Bieber released Peaches, which is a cover of that Presidents of the United States of America song from the 90s. So that's pretty cool.
Listen to it.
No, it's I don't think it's that either. I haven't heard a Justin Bieber song since he first came out and had the Justin Bieber hair. I don't remember. I haven't heard any of his stuff since then.
Yeah, I think I can say the same.
Lil Nas X released Montero, Call Me By Your Name. And I watched that video just to see what the hype was about.
Yeah, and I thought, yeah, this okay. is the only other song on this entire list that I've listened to.
Yeah.
Other than Olivia Rodrigo stuff.
I thought the song was okay. I know it's a big hit. I think as much as I'm not a big fan of Old Town Road, that's a way catchier, way more accessible song than this one is. But
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And then we've got some people that I've never heard of. Silk Sonic with Bruno Mars, who I have heard of, and Anderson .Paak. Leave the Door Open. I don't know what that is. Polo G released a song called Rap Star. I don't know what that is. BTS released a song called Butter, which I feel like I've heard that song is a thing, but I don't think I've heard the song.
Oh, that's that song about that movie.
Right, with Olivia Wilde in it. It's a hilarious movie. And then The Weeknd, again, and Ariana Grande released Good For You. Or It's Good For You. You know, it's either way. One of the two.
Listen to it because it's good for you.
So let's talk about what Psychopathic was doing in 2020 and 2021. And let me just say, I hope you like Ouija Mac, because if not, there's not much for you. In 2020, Ouija Mac released 5 albums: Wasteland, Zodiac, Pretty/Ugly, which is also the name of a 4-letter lie song that is pretty great. Resistance 2, Hell's Holotape. Now, I don't know if you know this, but there's a couple of interesting video game references just in that title alone. Resistance 2 is a fantastic game from Insomniac Games Studios. I like all those Resistance games. And Hell's Holotape is a Fallout reference. There's actually a picture of a holotape from Fallout on the cover of it. Very weird.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Also released by Ouija Mac that year, Whoop Whoop. The only other Psychopathic records released in 2020 was Big Hoodoo, The Houdini Chronicles, Part 1, The Red Book. There's way too many subtitles to that.
Oh, yeah. Too many,
yeah,
if I'm being honest.
Yeah, just call it The Houdini Chronicles.
Do you think when Star Wars came out, it was called Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope?
It was not.
No, it was fucking called Star Wars.
Right.
When you make the part 2, you can retroactively make this a part 1, asshole.
But I'm thinking this. Okay, the album is called Houdini Chronicles, Part 1, The Red Book, which is a fantastic magazine, by the way, Red Book.
For sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that's probably the inspiration. But I want to know, are you going to do another part 1? Are you going to do Houdini Chronicles, Part 1, The Green Book? Sorry, that movie and Twisted album already exist.
True. It's like, okay, no, this is the Houdini Chronicles Part 1, The Green Book, is going to be a concept album about the album from Twisted that was about the movie Green Book.
Clearly. All right, so let's move on to 2021 now. ICP actually did release 2 albums in 2021. The one we're going to talk about today, which, depending on where you look, is either called You Produce or ICP's House Party Peep Show EP, but we're going to be talking about that today. They released the album we'll talk about next week called Yum Yum's Lure. In February, both of those were in February. Also in February, Baby E and Ouija Mac released an album called Never Forgot, which is sort of a... Baby E generally is more of a singing side of things. Ouija Mac is throwing the rap down, and it's got this sort of mellow, chill vibe to it. If you haven't heard it, it's worth listening to. Then in April, Ouija Mac released Dirtbag. Again, in 2 years, Ouija Mac has released 7 albums. Just a thought. And then in May, ICP released a single called The Grump for anybody that went to the Prom Night Massacre 25th anniversary show. So there you go. Now we're caught up. We now, as of me saying that, as of today's date, have mentioned, to our knowledge, every release Psychopathic has put out and every album ICP has released.
Disclaimer, we absolutely have not mentioned every album, EP, single, and compilation Psychopathic Records has ever released.
Correct.
No. Incorrect.
And honestly, I'm proud of us.
I'm proud of us too.
Can I give you a quick cover of Luigi McIntyre's Dirtbag?
Please.
Let me get a sip of water here.
Cause I'm just Luigi Dirtbag, baby.
You know, I knew that's where it was headed, and I still wasn't ready for it.
Yeah, okay, so Ouija Mac put out 5 fucking releases last year and then was like, you know what? Let me go ahead and just toss 2 more out this year.
In the first 4 months of this year.
Yeah, in the first 4 months of this year, please. Right, well, now, honestly,
it's June, we're due for another 3 months. One. Yeah, we're due for another one.
Or
it's
no,
June.
4.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are. That's true. Ouija Mac, what's going on? So, okay, I think the frequent releases from him are... because Reba stopped getting those resids from her, those sweet, sweet residual checks from her TV show.
That's
and he's like,
it.
Oh, Luigi McIntyre to the rescue. I got to help pay mama's mortgage.
Oh, I see. I was thinking maybe mom cut him off and he had to fend for himself. But I like him coming to the rescue and saving Reba.
Yeah. Listen. We saw his character on Reba do it time and time again.
Right. Or maybe Waluigi got himself into some trouble, and now Luigi's got to step up, raise some bail. You never know.
Yeah, you know what? Fine, Eric, you twisted my arm. I guess I will spend time trying to green screen Ouija Mac into an episode of Reba this week, okay? Fine.
It shouldn't be too hard. You have to take that that clip that he posted on Twitter of him with the laundry baskets on his feet, like sliding into the room and dancing.
Oh, yeah.
Just put that into an episode of Reba, just sliding into a room.
Or just put it at the end of the intro like video. Where he's like sliding across and maybe like Reba comes in behind him as he's sliding.
Yes.
Yep. I'll work on it. No, I won't. Probably not.
Okay.
But maybe.
But we can think about it. We can imagine what it would be like. If one of you listeners wants to try and put either Reba into a Ouija Mac video or Ouija Mac into an episode of Reba, and then post it on one of our social channels, either Twitter or Instagram, which is where we are now as of this week, please do so. We'd love to see it.
We would love to see it. Can I be honest, Eric?
Yes.
I see a scenario where we do this podcast for far too long.
Yeah.
And we always do monthly movie night.
Yes.
And we've resorted to, like, every month we watch like 4 episodes of Reba.
I hope so. I mean, first off, depending on who you ask, some people may think we've already done this for far too long.
Well, yeah, you're very true. Yeah, true.
But my biggest fear is that at some point, no, fear slash hope. Some point, we get enough of a following and enough listeners that maybe we attend a gathering, or maybe we show up at a show, or people get to know who, or maybe the Psychopathic team is aware of what we're doing, and someday we're in a scenario where we have to be in the same room as Ouija Mac, and I have to be like, oh fuck, dude! I'm sorry about all the Luigi McIntyre stuff, man. We're not making fun of you or your name. We think you're cool, and he's gonna be like, whatever, fuck you. I'm gonna be like, yeah, damn it.
No, there is definitely a very incredibly small possibility.
And then Reba McIntyre walks in and says, "Don't ever talk to me or my son again."
Don't you ever talk to me or my son again. That is my Reba impression.
It was good. I could picture you with curly red hair.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, of course. My God. Yeah, no, there is a incredibly small possibility that this podcast will take us far enough to face the music about everything we say.
Yeah, yeah. Well, shall we?
We, you know what? On that note, we shall. Guys, we've talked about all the music that, you know what? We didn't have much to talk about because we have not listened to 90% of this shit.
No.
But one thing we did listen to is the House Party Peep Show. And we need to talk about it. But before we talk about it, of course, we have to get some sort of background information about this EP.
You know, considering...
How extended is this play?
You know what? Not particularly extended. You know, for ICP, sometimes they say EP, and I'm like, hey, this is four EPs back to back. This is a very extended play. This is an EP. But this one is just a regular ass EP. However, considering the album came out 4 months ago, you'd think there'd be plenty of info about it. There's not. There's very little info. So here's what I've gathered from my research. Because they couldn't tour or really make money in any meaningful way in 2020, ICP, with their never-ending hustle, and I've got mad respect for this, focused in on doing special streams and podcasts and virtual events. So they, you know, they have a Patreon, and you could, if you were a patron of theirs, you'd get access to all this digital content, which included game shows and special, you know, from their house performances and talk shows and all kinds of shit. Sometimes just sit down like podcasts, let's talk about our albums, or let's talk about the concept of time. That's one that I was watching the other day that was really bizarre. But if you are a patron on a monthly basis, you get a special swag pack. So I'm pretty sure this one was for April 2020. I could be wrong on that, on the month. But if you were a patron during that month, which was the first one, you would get all of this swag stuff, including this CD, which is, it just says House Party Peep Show on the front. And that's the name of this streaming series that they did. So we are left to assume that the EP is called House Party Peep Show, but also, if you look on certain sites like Discogs, it says you produce House Party Peep Show. So it could be called either one of those things. For our reference, we'll just call it House Party Peep Show. The first three songs on this EP were created based on fan votes during an episode of the House Party Peep Show Patreon podcast. I guess it was episode 12 called You Produce ICP. So basically, they said, we're going to make three songs, and you're going to, kind of like going to an improv show, right? You get to call out, okay, we need a location, and we need a person, and things like that. So people would vote on who was going to produce the beat, what the subject matter of the song would be, what the song would be called, what type of cadence would be used, you know, sing-songy type stuff, whatever, and what types of special elements the songs would feature. So song one was produced by Devereaux, song two produced by Mikey Clark, and song three was produced by Shaggy. Now, supporters were originally supposed to get this CD with just three songs on it on October 30th, 2020. But due to delays, they didn't actually send them out until February 12th of 2021. So I guess that's going to be the official release date. Now, it came in a gift bag with additional items like the first of five Ultra Live Monster 5 collectible coins. And there were lots of shipping issues. I remember seeing things where some people got two, some people didn't get anything. Lots of issues there. But it was in February of this year that people started receiving the CDs. Now, because the album was late, ICP added three additional songs. They called them Bone Us tracks, BONE-US, because they said, you got the bone because we didn't get this done on time. So now we're getting boned in return. We have to give you three more songs. So they dropped three additional songs, one of them being Live Dead Forever, which apparently was supposedly going to be the 2020 Hallow Wicked single, but wasn't. They used it for other purposes, like this CD, and dropped a different song called Mr. Nothing Man for Hallow Wicked that year. So the CD itself has no track list on it. People were left to guess about song titles for all the songs, not just the ones that they that were part of the You Produce, but also the three new ones. So even now, there's not a lot of info known about any of them. You'll notice that some of the songs below have multiple titles listed because we don't really have an official answer. Apparently, when you put the disc in to rip it through some software, it has one set of titles and other software has a different set of titles. And if you look on Discogs, they have a set of titles. So there's sort of two titles for some of the songs, depending on where you look.
This is shrouded in mystery.
Mystery.
But I think you did a fantastic job clarifying and blowing away at the mist as much as you could.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's get to our review. As always, by starting with the album. I think it's really cool.
I like it too. I like the art style on it, the drawing, the kind of cartoony style. It's pretty good.
Yeah, no, I love the artwork style, primarily black background with a kind of light purple, light blue, orange, and yellow, kind of very Halloween-y vibe with ICP's House Party Peep Show in orange. And then you got Jay and Shaggy on top of a house and people partying inside the house. The address is 665.
Of course it is. That only makes sense. They're the neighbor of the beast.
They are the neighbor of the beast.
This is the same art they used for their streaming series, basically, which is cool. Yeah. It's very cool art. It makes for a super fun EP cover, too.
Yeah, no, I think that this translated amazingly to an EP cover. I really enjoy it.
The thing that I think is extra funny, though, is this is a digipack, again, a cardboard sort of fold-out with a plastic tray that the CD clips into on one side. And when you open it up, there are pictures of Jay and Shaggy, but somehow Shaggy got screwed and his face is under the plastic disc tray, so you can't really see it.
Yeah, I was going to comment on that as well. Shaggy got the fucking short end of the stick.
Yeah. So fucked up. Not fair at all.
Oh, man. Not fair at all. Guys, come on. I love the artwork on the CD itself, by the way, too. It's the same artwork, but it's in all silver. Oh, my God. It looks really good.
Yeah, it's cool. And then on the back, they've got what at first, until I figured it out a little more, didn't understand. It says Monster 5. And I guess that their strategy for making sure people didn't just buy one Patreon, for 1 month and then stop was, hey, if you want to collect all five coins and all five swag bags, you have to do the big five monthly things. It was a good way to hook people in. Funny that they put that big logo on the back instead of a track listing, though.
Yeah, I know. I would have rather seen a track listing. I mean, cut the back in half, put that on half of it.
Yeah,
and sure. Track listing on the other half.
Yeah.
I want to go back to the CD real fast and point out that it says on the bottom October 2020.
Which is, I think, part of the reason that initially when we were planning episodes in 2020, we were expecting that to have come out in 2020, which is why when we got to this point, I was like, nope, I guess we're going straight to 2021. We've caught up.
It's part of that shrouded mystery.
It is.
Yeah. Nice. Okay.
Nice.
That was the album cover. Now it's time for us to go track by track. Of course, we're going to start with track number one, The Blob. Eric, what were your thoughts?
My first thought was no intro track. No BS, straight into the first song. And I thought this was cool. So the song is called The Blob. And when I first listened to it, I picked up a few things that I went, is this based on the movies, The Blob? And then as I listened, a second and third time, I was like, this is very much based off the concept of the movies, which is really cool. The beat to me is great. I really like that beat. The cadence is interesting. As Violent J raps through the verses, his voice gets progressively more robotic. There's some sort of processing on it, and I think it's really cool as he gets in some sort of like vocoder. It adds interest to the song. So if you aren't familiar with The Blob, there was a horror movie in the 50s that was kind of a campy, cheesy horror movie, and then a reimagining remake in the 80s that also is pretty campy and cheesy, but less silly.
Right.
This is like almost like they watched the movies and said, let's talk about an alternate story path, like a side story, right? Here's what happened in the movie, but here's what happened to another character you didn't know about. So we've got Bob. He's out in a car in the woods with a hooker, and he sees a meteorite crash near him. So he goes to investigate it, sees a glowing crater, and out of the crater comes this glowing goo. So at first he tries to touch it with a stick, but the goo eats the stick, and out of curiosity, he touches it with his finger. And it burns, but no matter what he does, he can't get it off. So he goes back home, and it starts to overtake his body. It takes over his hand and his arm. So for some reason, he calls the hooker back to his house. I'm using that term because that's the term that they use in the song, to help him. And he tells her to cut his arm off with an axe, but it doesn't work. And the blob quickly overtakes his whole body and kills him. Now, I don't think the hook is super strong, but I remember it. It's memorable. And overall, I think the song sounds pretty good. An interesting storytelling song. There's a lot of storytelling on this album, and I think that's awesome. But what were your thoughts on it?
Yeah, this album is overwhelmingly storytelling. And I thought, you know, once I found out this song actually was kind of an ode to the blob, I was like, oh, this is fucking sick. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I thought the beat was okay. So I got to be honest, like through the first minute of the song, I was really trashing on it. I thought the beat was like kind of thin. I thought that Jay just sounded incredibly bored. I thought that the mix, and honestly, the mix in the first three songs I'm going to talk about, I think the mix was off in the first three songs.
It's undeniable that those first three songs, you notice a big difference. When you get to track four and for those last three, they sound like complete, finished, mastered tracks. These first three definitely have a vibe of we recorded these as demos or they were part of our improv thing or whatever. I get that.
Right, yeah. Last three songs, night and day difference. These first three, I think the mix, you know, and I understand this isn't a wide, big professional release, you know what I mean? So I'm more forgiving about it, the mix being bad on this one, but I would be remiss if I didn't say anything about it in the songs that I found it, you know what I mean? But once the beat actually kind of kicks in, it's pretty sick. I enjoyed it. This was a nice storytelling song about some pretty fucking cool campy movies, and you know, it took me a minute to get into it, but I heavily enjoyed it.
Yeah, we should watch The Blob for a movie night someday.
I mean, I think that makes you know, probably more sense than, you know, a couple episodes of Reba. So yeah,
probably. All right, well, let's move on to track two. Now, this one is either called Jay's Forehead or My Forehead, featuring Ouija Mac. Tell us your thoughts.
Okay, so this song is about Violent J's big forehead and him getting made fun of for his big forehead. There's at one point he goes into a store asking for a hat, and the guy's like, we don't make, you know, them that big. And then he kind of like insults it's, you know, but yeah. So musically, I didn't like Violent J's voice mod through the entire song. Wasn't a big fan of the beat. Chorus was terrible. It's a fun song, but not necessarily good. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. And I would agree because... Okay. Of these first three songs, the ones that are part of the You Produce, you know, sort of improv tracks, the ones that the community helped decide on, this is the one that I don't think they would have written or created otherwise. It's the one that most feels like a mash together of improv concepts that kind of doesn't make a lot of sense. Weird to have you know, this be the one that Mike Clark is producing, because I would have rather had him work on track one or three. However, those songs turned out fine the way they were. You're right. Jay's got these pitched up vocals for all of his verses. And I don't know if it's intentional that they said, let's make you sound like a kid, because this is about getting made fun of as a kid because you have a big forehead. But there isn't a whole lot that references that. There's not a whole lot that says when I was in school or when I was a kid. It all feels a little more like, you know,
like
now. Right.
Yeah.
The beat is kind of weird. I don't think it's great. The whole thing just has big time demo vibes to me, that this song does. I do think it's funny that the community made him write a song about Jay's forehead, which obviously have been mentioned before. Ouija Mac's feature is interesting because, again, rather than doing a verse, he kind of gets the hook, but a lot of his just feels like ad-lib stuff. Like he's just, you know, they said, just make jokes about foreheads, you know, go for it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's kind of what he did. And it was fine. This was a fun song to hear. This is the kind of thing that I would expect to show up on a Forgotten Freshness somewhere, and you'd be like, what the hell is this? But it's okay.
Right.
It's an okay song. I think lyrically it's good. I mean, I think when he sat down and wrote the lyrics and the verses, pretty decent. I mean, Shaggy's got a verse on here too, and his is funny as well. But I think they both did a nice job lyrically.
I don't care for it, but at the same time, it's fun to listen to a couple times.
Sure.
So let's move on. Track number three, a track called Cartoon Goon.
So this is, it starts out with Shaggy, and his flows are pretty hard here. The beat's pretty low-key, pretty chill. But the concept here reminded me, there was a song called Cartoon Nightmares, Unforgotten Freshness Volume 3, that I guess was them acting out cartoon violent fantasies in some way. It was that was just a goofy song that was all over the place. This one is a story song that has a pretty cohesive narrative to it. It's the song, per the title, is about a goon played by Shaggy, who is a killer who's also a cartoon. And in the story, Violent J is the one trying to stop him. So the first two verses are Shaggy talking about killing people with like ridiculous Acme weapons from like Coyote and Roadrunner cartoons, and dropping pianos on their head and painting tunnels on walls. The last verse is Jay talking about trying to stop him. He's like some kind of superhero or cop. He said he's got an F on his chest, so that was why I was like, is this a superhero thing? But he's on vacation, and they call him in to stop Shaggy. And the way he does it, and this was my favorite part of the song, is he's trying to think of how to stop him, and he goes, oh, I should do like SpongeBob did with his fat homie Patrick. And in there is an episode where they create a drawn like cartoon character of SpongeBob. And I think that's what he was referencing. But Violent J decides to use an eraser to erase Shaggy. So that's the song. And then they it's just a picture of him. They hang it in a museum. So I thought that the story and the interaction was actually pretty cool. The concept worked for me. I didn't think it was the most like standout song, but I also think it was cleverly written and it worked pretty well. What'd you think?
Yeah, I think lyrically it was very cleverly written. I thought the beat was fine. The delivery, the flows were fine. Again, the mix is super off. I would have loved to hear this song get a little bit more treatment. You know, maybe tossed on as a remix on a Forgotten Freshness or something. Yeah. You know what I mean?
This song could be great if they built it out. This one and The Blob, if they took the songs and like really refined them, could be awesome.
Oh, yeah. No, The Blob, 100% for sure. I agree. Yeah, I thought the chorus was pretty catchy. The only real complaint I have with this one is that it sounded, you know, like a demo. But again, that's not really a massive complaint.
No. Interesting to hear with the context of how these songs were created. It makes sense. I get why they all sound the way they do. And none of them sound bad. I wouldn't listen to it and go, God, this sounds like shit. But especially when you get to track four, which is the next one we're going to talk about, which is called, depending on where you look, either Mighty Moat or Mighty Mo. I think Moat is probably correct based on listening to the song. But I'll let you talk about it. However, as soon as this song starts, the production quality takes 10 steps up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Mighty Mote. Okay, yeah, I think it's Mighty Mote as well, based on the song. I agree, after listening a few times. I mean, like Eric said, night and day difference. You can tell the production quality is just insanely better than the other one. Man, I really dug this beat. Okay, so this is a story about Violent J getting bullied by a bunch of different people. And then he orders a Mighty Mote from Yum Yum Fun Corp.
Yeah.
And it is a remote control that is able to do a bunch of things like rewind people, blow a hole through the wall, pause. You know, this is Juggalo Click. And honestly,
I had that note too.
Honestly, Eric, I think this now qualifies Click to make sense as a movie night movie.
So that's a good point. Yeah.
So we can add that into the list of the movie night stuff that we're discovering today. So Yum Yum Fun Corp. So maybe the Mighty Mote is something that might get mentioned in Yum Yum's lore. Maybe it's a little hint. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe.
I do want to point out the Mighty Mote. If you point it at a Neddin, it'll make it a suction machine and suck the woman's feet and legs up inside of her.
Yeah. Basically turn her inside out or fold her up. Kind of
fold her up like a chicken wing, yeah. According to the song. Yeah. I think the song's really good. I actually heavily enjoyed it. The story was really funny. It was cleverly written. I love that his two bullies are named Dick and Skeet Mouth in the song.
Yeah, the Mouth Brothers.
Yeah, the Mouth Brothers. Yeah, this song was great. I like this song a lot. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I think there was, even beyond the surface fun of the song, I think there's even more to it. Like we mentioned, the production immediately feels different, and the song feels more complete than the first three, which maybe adds to this song feeling cool. Like, it just, you go, whoa, okay, here's a song that feels like completely thought through and produced out. The beat is cool. Like you said, Violent J in this plays basically a loser who has a shitty abusive stepdad. He gets bullied on the school bus. He gets bullied by the Mouth Brothers at school. Everywhere he goes, there is somebody there that's fucking with him all the time. And right. He's at home one night listening to his shitty stepdad fuck his mom, and he's thinking about killing himself, but he says the thought of him giving up would be like him straight as a razor riding a dick, clearly, which would never happen. I mean, come on.
Of course.
But he's in his room reading a comic book.
How did I miss that?
How did you miss that? But he's in his room one night reading a comic book, trying to escape the world around him. And I think this escape and that comic book are symbolic in the song, right? And I'm not trying to read too deep into a goofy song, but I think there's something there. So he sees an ad in the back of the comic for the Mighty Mote, which offers 10,000 ways to get revenge. So he sends, of course, $6.65 plus a dime for shipping to get it. And he wakes up the next morning with the Mighty Mote on his chest. Now, I think they say that he sends the money to the Mighty Mo from Yum Yum Fun Corp. I'm not sure there, but that might be where the Mighty Mo thing comes from. But it's definitely a remote. And from that point, you're right. It's like if Click was a horror movie. He can control people with it. He can kill people with it. To me, this whole song is about how a person in a shitty situation escapes life into imagination, and that's where he's able to get his revenge. The concept is actually hinted at in the last verse of the song as well. I don't get the impression that all this stuff is happening, but I do get the impression that he's in his room trying to escape his reality, disappearing into a comic book. And in his mind, this is how he's getting his revenge against everybody.
That could very much so be it. Yeah.
Yeah. Fun concept for a song. This is kind of a sad but true story. There was a kid in my school that always got picked on. He was an awkward dude and everybody gave him a hard time. And he used to very much escape into his imagination. I remember a couple of times in class or in school where he would fake mime, like shooting people. He would bring guns out of his backpack and mow down the classroom and stuff, which is a horrifying thing these days. But this song reminded me of that, of somebody who's picked on acting out their, you know, revenge through fantasy rather than doing it in real life. And that's where my brain went with this.
Yeah, no, I honestly think we all kind of went to school with a kid that, in some form, not exactly the way you just described, but in some form or another, would act out their revenge from being picked on in fantasy.
Yeah, whether they're pretending to be Naruto running through the hall or whatever it is, you know.
Yeah. It could be anything. Absolutely. Yeah. So no, I think that is a very astute observation.
Yeah. I mean, hell, I've certainly in high school laid in bed at night and thought about getting my revenge against people that were bad to me. Not that I would ever do it, but I think there's an element of anybody, regardless of whether you were that poor kid that really got ridiculed or you're just somebody that got bullied or beat up here and there, you can relate to the concept, right? That revenge concept.
Oh, yeah. Listen, it was a juggalo that fucking first bullied me in elementary school, okay, motherfuckers?
Yeah.
This podcast is my revenge, baby. It's no longer a fantasy.
You made your fantasy a reality.
I made it a reality. I girl bossed it into existence. Yeah. Okay, guys, let's move on to the next song. This is track number 5. And this is a song called, it's either called The Ceremony or Medals.
Yeah, looking at those titles, I think it could be either one. Both of those titles.
This one's not clear.
Both of those could work. So this song is kind of like the song Best Friend from the Brother EP and several, I guess it was on Forgotten Freshness Volume 6 that we listened to recently as well. It's like that song Best Friend mixed with an embarrassing best man speech at a wedding reception. Like, it's kind of like awkward in that way, especially the first verse, because this whole song is him talking about how much he loves and appreciates his closest friends, and he's giving each of them a medal. And this is basically like that medal awards ceremony. And the first verse, medal is for Shaggy. There's some really weird stuff in this verse about, like, Shaggy losing his virginity at 14, and then Jay asking him to hook him up with the girl, and then Shaggy saying he'll do it, but it never happens. And all I could think is, like, isn't Jay like 3 years older than Shaggy? And like, what's going on there? Like, you can talk about how important your friend is to you and crazy things that happen in your life, but there's something about that felt a little uncomfortable to me to listen to. Not because I was like, hey, you did something you shouldn't have, but I was like, this is weird. This is really, you're giving somebody a medal for that? That's weird. Verse 2, which is kind of split in half, so it's verse 2/3, is for Rude Boy and Billy Bill. And that verse is good. That felt great. The final verse is about his big brother Rob, Jump Steady. And I mean, without being too hyperbolic, that verse is really beautiful. It lays out so much of the foundation of what ICP is, and I think you see how much of an influence his big brother had on him and how much he looks up to his brother. And, you know, it gives some shape to the song and shows you how these four people shaped and played roles in the story of ICP and Psychopathic Records, especially that last one about Jump Steady. This song, it really has a ton of heart. The beat is chill and positive. It gets a little sappy at times. Pretty good overall, though. What did you think?
Verse 4 was by far the best verse.
Yeah.
Man, verse 4 was really good. I think by the weirdest one definitely is Shaggy's. You know, if he would have not launched into the whole Shaggy had sex for the first time at 14 and I was waiting outside the entire time because he was going to try and let me in on that. Yeah, if they would have, left all that out, that would have been super cool.
Yeah. But, and again, there's no implication. Well, there's implications in some direction there. It's either that Shaggy at 14 was having sex with somebody older or somebody close to his own age. Either way, all very kind of weird to put in a song.
Yeah. Definitely a little strange to put in a song. But outside of that one part, I mean, the song is fine. Like, you're right, it gets sappy at times, but, you know, that's also Violent J is like the master of sap when it comes to ICP, and we've seen that time and time again. And, you know, I think that's great. I think it's fine. You know, the flows were nice. The beat, you're right, was very chill. I really enjoyed the beat. You know, it's a little long, but I didn't mind that. It wasn't something that I'm like, okay, let's get on with it. You know what I mean? But but it was enough to notice, like, okay, this is a little long. It's a good song, I think. It's a fine song.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not bad. I wouldn't say this is a bad song. Let's move on to track number 6. This is the last song on the proper EP itself. This was supposedly going to be the Hella Wicked track for that year, which instead they put on this CD apparently and released a different song for their Hella Wicked track. But this one is called Live Dead Forever. What were your thoughts?
So I thought the beat was fucking sick in this song. That was like the first thing that stood out to me, was that by far I think this is my favorite beat. So this song, the premise of it, and you kind of get it pretty immediately, because Violent J kind of just launches straight into it by saying, "We're all dead, you, me, us, everybody." And then he names a bunch of people, some of which who are dead, others of which who are not dead.
Yeah.
The kind of chorus says, like, we'll live dead forever, over and over again, with lines in between, as well as it sort of does that same thing as a lingering outro. This makes sense as a Hella Wicked single, I think. When I look at this EP, I break it up into two parts, right? We have part one, which is you produce portion of the EP.
Yeah.
And part two, which is other, extra, fluff.
Yeah.
And I think from the fluff, from the produced fluff, this is my least favorite song. But it's still okay. But I don't like it as much as I like Mighty Moat or even The Ceremony. And I had my criticisms about The Ceremony. I don't know. I've never really liked Hella Wicked's outside of like a couple.
This doesn't feel like an overtly Hella Wicked track to me. However, I understand why it was created for that. I think this song is about three different things. I think the first half of the song is about one thing. The second half of the song is about another thing. And then there's an overarching message as well. So the first half of the song seems to me to be about facing your own mortality as you watch the celebrities and people of your generation die, right? The song sounds very dark, but when you listen to the chorus, the whole premise is that when you die, you're going to be reunited with all these people and will live forever in death with no more pain and no more loss and all this stuff. And in that first verse, like you mentioned, Violent J mentions a whole bunch of people that have died, allegedly. The first one, strangely, is James Wright, one of the inventors of Silly Putty, which that's actually true. He died in 1961. I looked it up. I tried to see. Although there is some dispute over who invented it, but he's generally credited. But such an odd, like, where did that come from? Of the other people that are mentioned, it sounds like he mentions Bud Bundy, who you are correct is not dead. Karate Kid, Ralph Macchio, is very much still alive. They're still doing a Netflix series right now. And Luciano Pavarotti is 71 and still alive. So that's the first verse. It's all these people are dying and we're all going to die. The second verse, though, is looking at the stars of the current and next generation. It starts out by saying that Justin Bieber will die of rectal cancer, and everybody will die. He lists off a ton of relatively big current celebrities and basically says, it doesn't matter if you're on top in this life, because when you die, none of that stuff will be of consequence. Eternal life starts at death, and none of your money or fame is going to come with you. So that's the meaning behind the second half of the song. The overarching meaning being that we'll live forever in death, and we're going to Shangri-La, essentially. First half, about facing mortality. Second half, about you know, the cult of celebrity and the pursuit of fame and wealth that won't come with you. This song thematically feels like it could have been on the Wraith albums big time to me, because all those concepts are things that they talk about there. I think that's the thing I like the best about the song personally, is that this felt on brand with first deck era ICP concepts. This is a lot of things that they've touched on in that era. So I thought that was cool. Overall, I thought the song was just okay, but I liked that aspect of it.
Okay. Yeah, I get that. Well, that was Live Dead Forever, but we are not off the hook yet because we have a bonus review. And that is going to be the actual 2020's Hollowicked single, which is on Spotify, Mr. Nothing Man, released in 2020. Eric, thoughts?
My first thought is, if they had originally recorded Live Dead Forever to be a Hollowicked single, and it was supposed to come out for Halloween, and House Party Peep Show was supposed to be out on the 30th, but they didn't meet that deadline, why did they choose not to put that song out for Halloween and record a different song? I'll never know the answer. Maybe right. We will. I don't know. Either way, Mr. Nothing Man is an interesting track. It's not a thrilling song to listen to. I don't want to say it's a little boring, but it kind of is. It's another story song, and I love that about it. The song is about a person that exists and has awareness, but has no physical presence. You can't see them or touch them or hear them or smell them. You just don't know they exist. And they, in turn, can't speak or touch you or any of that stuff. The whole song is questioning, the first part of it at least, who they are, why they exist, explaining the torture of living in that way, until one day a woman does actually see him and can hear him. And people that she knows think she's crazy because they don't see him. And in trying to figure out what he is, he determines that he's a ghost. And she believes him, and so that they can be together, she kills herself by jumping off of a building, but no spirit rises from the body. She just dies. So then his torment is compounded as he now realizes that he killed the only person that ever saw or cared about him.
Right.
To me, it's an interesting song about feeling like an outcast in the world, that you don't feel like you're seen, that people don't care about you, that people ignore you, and having and losing the one person that you did feel like cares about you. It's a concept that I understand. I get that. I mean, you know, growing up, I always felt like an outcast. And, you know, when you would connect with somebody, those relationships felt even bigger. And I think those are some of the parallels here. But what did you think about the song?
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I think it was particularly boring. I don't really know why they cranked out a second Hollowicked song. You're right. I don't think we'll ever get the answer to that. But I think the story was fine. The story is okay. I think they didn't do this story justice with the fact that it's not really I think that this story could have been a lot better of a song. And I think that maybe is because I don't know if they rushed to write and record this, or just rushed to record this, or what's going on to create this song and release it in 2020, when they could have sat on this idea and fleshed it out a little bit more and maybe sat on it for 2021 and had a better song.
Yeah, I didn't think it was a bad song, but I would agree with you that I think, you know, it could have been made slightly better. I liked, lyrically and story-wise, I was with it. You know, I thought that part was good. Yeah. But there was something about just listening to the song overall that, unless you're really paying attention, is going to lose your attention. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It'll fade out into white noise pretty quick. And I think that overall, you know, it's a fine song. I would like to see, I see the potential in the story that they have written lyrically, and I would like to see it translated better musically.
Yeah, I feel that.
Well, okay. That was your extra bonus content of the week. I hope you enjoyed it, because right now we have to go back to House Party Peep Show and give you our thoughts. You can give us your thoughts, but it'll be after this, because we're recording this like 5 days before it actually gets released.
Or you could just shout out your thoughts while you're listening, like over us talking.
Yeah, do it right now, especially if you're in a public place.
Yeah.
Like a laundromat.
Or a garbage dump.
Ooh, yeah. Are you at a garbage dump right now, you trash piece of shit?
Yeah.
Shout us your thoughts, you trash fuck. overall thoughts on House Party Peep Show. Here's my overall thoughts. This was really fun. I think it would have been I think it would have been way more fun based on the timing of when it was released. If it was actually released in 2020, I think this would have been more fun because of the climate we were in back then. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I think, but at the same time, I pretty much enjoyed everything on this EP. The first part that very demo-y and the last part that was way more produced. There was the worst song on it, I said, was I think okay or pretty good. So I think that even though I would have, you know, the timing of the release on this, if it was changed to the original date, I think this would have elevated this release for me a little bit. But we'll get to that at Vibe of Time of Release. Overall, I think this was a cool thing to listen to. It's not too long. It's got good story in it. Half of it's produced really well. The other half, it's not terrible. It's still listenable. Overall, I think it was a good release. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I feel pretty much the same. I think we are probably overemphasizing the demo sounding nature of the first three tracks because they all sound decent. There's nothing on there that sounds shitty, but it's noticeable. I think this is a cool EP. It's collectible. It's neat. It was a good prize for people that were patrons, during 2020. I admire ICP's hustle and creativity and ingenuity for doing all these different types of streams and presentations and stuff. I think a You Produce segment is really cool, and I think it produced at least two really cool tracks and one that was silly. But there's nothing you need to skip here. If you have this CD, I promise you, you're listening to it front to back. You're not skipping to the tracks you like because they're all pretty fun. I think this is an interesting CD because they're not trying to make it anything it isn't. They're like, here are the three songs we worked on together, and here are three more songs. We're not going to put skits. We're not going to put intros. We're not going to put outros. We're not going to fuck with them. It's just six kind of fun songs. This, to me, almost feels like a mini Forgotten Freshness, but of all new songs. It's a fun thing. I like that they have not yet put it on digital platforms. We had to listen on YouTube. And if you've got this CD, you're probably not too... I mean, yeah, you had to wait till February to get it, but you're probably not too angry at what you got. That's my thoughts.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I have nothing to add because I completely agree.
Yeah, good.
Perfect. Well, let's get to our personal favorite tracks then. So these are our personal favorites. They're not going to go on the official playlist because this EP is not on Spotify yet. But with that being said, knowing them, I'm sure it will be at some point, probably later this year.
Yeah,
and we can add it then.
Yeah, I think so. I would think so.
So this is just our TBD. Whenever it gets put on Spotify, we will retroactively go back and put these two songs on the playlist.
Word
indeed. I've got two. Okay.
Yeah.
One from each part of the EP.
I do too. I have one from each part as well.
Perfect. And I think that I think to get the best representation for our future playlist, I think we should do one from part one, one from part two.
All right.
So let's say our part one ones at the same time and then hash it out.
Okay.
Okay. So after three.
Okay.
One, two, three.
The blob.
Good. Nice. Nothing to hash out.
Perfect.
Okay. Second part. One, two, three.
Mighty Moat.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I kind of figured that we were going to be on the same page with that one especially.
Yeah.
But The Blob and Mighty Moat. Congratulations on being the best.
The best.
And whenever you are available on Spotify, you will be forever emblazoned upon the playlist that is ICUP WWE Ultimate Playlist. guys, it's time for Faygo scores. You know how we do this. Music and beats, lyrics and flows, vibe at the time of the release. Sometimes skits and interludes, but not this time because you're right. No fluff, no bullshit. This was straight to the fans, baby.
Yeah, straight up gonzo ICP action.
Exactly. Music and beats, I went ahead and gave this a 2.5, which might actually seem pretty low. I mean, it's middle of the road, but it might seem pretty low since I liked this EP so much, but the music and beats weren't the strong points, and I don't think they were ever meant to be the strong points. This was very much so a lyrically based EP, and I think that the reason we enjoy it so much is because they kept a lot of the focus on the lyrics by not adding a bunch of fluff and busy beats. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think I liked a lot of the beats, and I thought there was nothing on here that I specifically didn't like. Even on the tracks, those first three tracks that weren't, they felt like maybe could use a little more time in the oven. I liked some of those beats quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I gave it a 3.5 because I thought of the six, there were four that I thought were pretty good and two that I thought were just okay.
That makes sense. Yeah. And I don't dislike the beats. They're very middle of the road for me. So let's move on then to lyrics and flows. Lyrics and flows, I gave a 4. Like I said, during my music and beats portion, this was very much so a lyrically driven release, and they did incredibly well with the lyrics. Flows were boring at some times, pitched up vocals, not a fan of. On Jay's forehead, or my forehead, whichever one you prefer. And then the flows being boring, a couple choruses being just kind of cheesy. Outside of that, incredible job. I gave it a 4.
Yeah, I think at some points the flows were just okay. At some points, really cool. Some of the hooks were just fine. Some of them, you know, pretty good, I think. But overall, lyrically, I think the writing here was pretty solid. I think the storytelling songs made a lot of sense. I think do your research to find out who's living and who's dead before you make a song about it. But outside that, I thought lyrically, this was pretty strong. I don't care that you're not gay, but outside that, pretty strong. I gave it a 4.
Perfect. Vibe at time of release. So I kind of teased at this when I gave you my overall thoughts. I think that this would be a more meaningful release. Even to me, listening to it in 2021, I think even for me, knowing that it was released during 2020 would have enhanced this experience for me if it was released at the same time. I think that date, kind of missing that date, changed the vibe, although not drastically, because I still think overall this was a very cool and fun release. And you know, February 2021, we're still in a fucking pandemic, so it's not like, you know, the difference was we're in a pandemic with the end in sight, kind of, whereas 2020, none of 2020 felt like that. So I don't know. I mean, I gave it a 3.5. I think it's still great, but I had to knock some points for the fact that it was released a little late.
Well, so I think that this album would have made it would have been an awesome thing to get in October of 2020 because people were really feeling it around that time. We were still deep into some dangerous COVID times, and people were, you know, the holidays are coming and it's Halloween. I just want to get out and live my normal life. It would have been kind of cool to get this from them, you know, right before Halloween in a gift bag and go, fuck yeah, let's bump this. And, you know, even if we just stay home, it makes me feel like I've got something going on. That would have been cool, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't make the EP any less fun to listen to in 2021. But when it released in February, it released like a week or two away from Yum Yum's Lure. Why drop them so close together? I know they were just trying to get it out, but I think to me that takes even more away. Like, hey, you dropped two EPs within a week or two of each other. Kind of makes both of them feel less impactful in some way, you know? Still fun to listen to, still a cool thing. I think for the patrons that paid for this, that were hoping to get it, that got delayed for 4 months, probably kind of a tough one. But I went with a 2.5. I did go with a lower vibe at time of release.
All right. Well, what's that bring us overall?
It brings us to a 3.33333333333, which I think we have easily determined is a 3.5.
Look at that. Can I be honest?
Yes.
Higher than I thought this was going to get before I listened to it.
Same. Pretty good score. Actually, I think it's the right score for this. Is it great? So no. Is it a really cool, fun little EP that they put out that's just a neat, like, unexpected thing? For sure.
No, that is a perfect way to describe it. I had a lot of fun listening to it. I had even more fun talking about it, believe it or not.
Yeah, for sure.
Alrighty, guys. Well, that was our review for this week. Next week, we are... oh, my God. We are going to be caught up to current. Can you believe it? I never thought I would say those words. Next week is the week we are reviewing 2021's Yum Yums Laura. But don't worry, that's not going to be our last episode. We'll get more into that another time.
Yeah, we'll fill you in next week after we talk about Yum Yums Lure. We'll let you know what's going on, but we're not going away.
You're not getting rid of us that easy.
Ha ha ha.
Because you at least have to come to movie night on June 30th in the Discord. Link in the description. Also, going to tweet it out and put it in the bio of our Instagram as well.
What are we watching for our next movie night on June 30th?
We are watching June 30th, 7 p.m. Central Time.
Death Race.
Death Race ERS, which we don't want to be confused with the original Death Race movie.
Oh, that's right.
We're watching Death Racers because ICP is in it. They're one of the teams.
Correct. Death Racers. Thank you.
Death.
Yes.
Death Erasers. They erase death.
Yeah. No, it's a big eraser. It's for death. And
who
it
else
works.
Is in this movie? Arnold Schwarzenegger, Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt is in this movie?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Sylvester Stallone, Angelina Jolie, Julia Roberts, I think. Eric Roberts as well.
Ooh.
Dakota Fanning.
Jeez, this is star-studded.
Very star-studded. Very star-studded. I'm pretty sure ICP got top billing, though.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Definitely over Stallone.
Yeah. Who else is in this thing? Anthony Mackie is in it.
I would love to see the call sheet on this one to see who is number one.
I'll tell you, I think I know who got top billing, and it was Jump Steady in an uncredited role initially.
Yes.
Starring Jump Steady.
Retroactively got put on the top of the DVD art.
Yeah.
Above absolutely. The title.
Samuel Jackson is in it as well.
Jesus.
Yeah. I think Lin-Manuel Miranda wrote the score along with ICP.
Oh, had to be. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Awkwafina's in
this
it.
This is huge.
She raps a verse on one of the songs.
Sure.
Yeah, don't miss this. If you've never seen this movie, probably the movie of our generation, of our time, make sure you tune in on June 30th to hang with us.
It's going to be a blast. June 30th, 7 p.m. in the Griscord. We will be watching good old
Death Racers.
So, with that being said, I know what you're thinking, listener. You're thinking, oh my God, it's over. I'm not going to be able to hear them interact with each other in my ears for a whole nother week.
It's true.
Fuck this. Listen, you can interact with us, baby. You can interact with us now on four different types of online social interaction sites.
Is that true? Four?
Yeah, Twitter, Instagram, Discord, email.
That's true. That's four. That's the number four. When you counted those things, there were four of them.
This is correct. All of what you're saying is factual information.
What are the places on those different social media and non-social media? His email doesn't count as social media, but you can be social. Tell them where to do the things to get to us, how to
give them. Y'all, if you would like to tweet at us, our Twitter is at ICUPWWE. If you would like to get on our Instagram, we are brand new on Instagram. Thank you to the homie Jiggles for calling me out on not making us an Instagram. I know that I need to, and I did it. And I'm posting selfies that Eric and I took this morning for recording now, believe it or not.
Whoa.
Posting them right now.
Also, another shout out to Jiggles for listening to every episode, catching up, giving us thoughts, feedback, just awesome. And a shout out to Rob from the What is a Juggalo podcast for also chatting with us about stuff and being involved. Like, we got awesome people involved in what we're doing.
We do have awesome people. I didn't expect this podcast to be anything outside of things that our friends from the music scene maybe listen to. And it's amazing to meet all these amazing homies.
Yeah.
And that is exactly why we are expanding our social media horizons, because we want to meet even more amazing homies and we want to have amazing homie friends. So with that being said, we are going to be on Instagram. I'm going to be posting some behind the scenes looks, some outtakes, possibly. Who knows?
Uh-oh, outtakes? We would never have outtakes.
For those of you that know, or that don't know, rather, we sit down every Sunday and we record for 12 hours.
Yes, 12.
And then we cut it down to the concise 1 to 2 hours somewhere in between there.
Yeah.
For your little ear holes.
So we'll post the 10 to 11 hours of additional content for you on Instagram.
Correct. That will be, so we'll post snippets on Instagram and then we'll make a Patreon for full unedited 12-hour sessions.
Right. And also coming soon, the ICUP with We OnlyFans.
Correct. Yes. We will be showing our little troll dicks and little troll balls.
Oh, there it is.
On the internet.
There it is.
For all of you ninjas out there. And if you're more of an OnlyFans type ninja,
we're doing a crossover with Juggalo Judgment on our OnlyFans as well. They're starting one too, and we're going to team up.
We're going to do a Juggalo Judgment OnlyFans takeover, where we actually take over their account for a day and post all of our nudes.
Perfect.
On their account. And they're going to do the same for ours.
We'll be honest. Okay, we're just going to go. We're only posting lewds. We don't want to bait and switch you. It's just lewds.
True, yeah. My hands are covering my nipples.
Right.
In all of the photos. And then Eric's hands are covering my little troll dick and little troll balls.
Right. And you won't see our faces. It cuts off at our chin in every picture.
Yeah, also, we both have six packs.
Six packs of... I've got a six pack of Faygo orange, and Aaron's got a six pack of Faygo grape.
And I heard Schmeev is for those who have red pop kinks. Because fuck red pop. Guys, yeah, so we're going to be on Instagram. You can email us icpwwe@gmail.com. Also, like we said, the Discord server. We have an ICP channel to talk in. We have a bunch of homies in there, as well as both of us and the JJ boys are in there as well. So, guys, that's where you can find us collectively. But if for some reason you say, I love this podcast, but I only love when it rambles into insanity, I don't like the factual information or any of the actual meat of the episode. I just like the insanity of it all. Well, and if that's the case, then you're looking for me, and you can find me in all of my social links at www.aaronlocklear.com. It's also where you can find a link to my Etsy, where I sell art and take commissions, as well as a link to my merch website with some pretty fun stuff on it. You can also find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/gristlemedia, where I will be playing lots of different fun things, including some GTA roleplay, as well as some Sea of Thieves, as well as a bunch of other cool stuff online for you to hang out with me. Eric, where can they find you?
You know what? If you want to know what I'm wearing right now or what Aaron is wearing, you can just hit me up on Twitter at @nuclearislonely. And I'll tell you, Wrangler jeans, bikini briefs, cowboy boots, leather jacket, no shirt, which is my regular around the house outfit. But you can also check out my website, ericconway.com, and see a bunch of shit that I work on.
Perfect. This has been fun. It's been real. It's been fun. Honestly, it's been real fun.
It has been.
Thank you so much for listening, as always. For Eric, I'm Aaron. We'll see you next week for Yum Yum's Lore. Whoop whoop.
Yum Yum!
Maybe whenever I convince Eric to let me do my own Schmieb Burger in Paradise, we'll review that album.
Oh, no.
Damn it!